I sincerely welcome you to Govardhan Eco Village. It's my great honor to be with you today. It is by Krishna's causeless mercy, the fulfillment of a dream and a prayer of many devotees, that we are all gathered for this very auspicious event. The Prana Pratishtha, inauguration of temple, installation of the form of the Lord, is a timeless, sacred tradition in the school of bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, explains that the methods in which liberated personalities, prema bhaktis, perform devotional service is unlimited. But there are 64 primary forms of bhakti. Among them, 5 are most prominent. Chanting the holy names of the Lord, regularly immersing one's consciousness in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, association of devotees, going to places of pilgrimage and worshiping the Archamurti, the form of the deity. Although Harinam Kirtan is the primary process by which love of God awakens in our heart, these 5 devotional activities are most prominent. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam kalo nasteva 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 gatir anyata. That in this age of Kali, can they make the kirtan less there? So, Harinam Sankirtan is the means by which ecstatic love of God is awakened within the heart. And I'm asking Harinam to be softer. Maybe I should just get off stage and just let them chant. It's more consistent with what I'm speaking. But in order to chant with sustainability and the proper service attitude, these other forms of devotional service are very crucial in our spiritual lives. Because Krishna tells, ye yathamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamya. According to our consciousness, according to how we approach him, that's how he's going to reciprocate and reveal himself accordingly. The association of devotees is crucial. Satsang. Because in the company of devotees, we have the support, we have the facility of sharing Krishna with each other. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells that all the yajnas, all the sacrifices, elevation to the heavenly planets, even the attainment of liberation, not compare to one moment of an association with a loving devotee of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is the story where Shukadeva Goswami, this Paramahamsa devotee, extracted the most important histories throughout creation. Dhruva, Prahlad, Ambarish, the Pandavas, the Prajetas, and ultimately the Vrijvasis, the residents of Mathura and Dwarka, to teach us what are the activities in the relation between a devotee and God or Krishna, and what is the relationship between the devotees and each other, and what is the nature of a devotee's attitude toward those who are even inimical toward them. Everything that is required to be known about the nature of devotee relationships and devotee character is revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the postgraduate study of that is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Visits to holy places are when devotees come together to put everything else aside, specifically to absorb our consciousness in Krishna, in surrender to Krishna, in remembering Krishna. In the holy places, they are surcharged with all of the devotion, all of the love, all of the compassion of countless saints over countless centuries. And worshiping the deity is a means by which we can actually develop a personal loving relationship with the Lord through service or seva. We find the greatest acharyas, paramhamsa, saints throughout the history of India have put so much of their hearts and their lives into worshiping the deity form of the Lord. Sripad Shankaracharya, Govindam, what is it? Vaja Govinda, Vaja Govinda, Vaja Govinda, Mudamad. His final instruction is worship Govinda. Everything else is ultimately only meant to bring you to this. And he personally, his Ishtadev, he worshipped Narasimhadev. That form of the Lord is still there at Jyotirmat. And he personally worshipped Badri Vishal, the form of Vishnu or Krishna in Badrinath. Sripad Ramanujacharya, who influenced millions of people throughout the ages, his philosophy, his character, his compassion, he established deities and standards of deity worship throughout the southern India. And he personally worshipped every day Sri Ranganath. and in his heart of hearts, Sri Balaji in Tirupati. Madhvacharya, Sripad Madhvacharya. One of his greatest contributions was the establishing of Udupi Krishna and his personal worship, and how he, as well as Ramanujacharya, established a system for seva to the form of the Lord, and a tradition that has been meticulously followed. In the case of Madhvacharya, for over 700 years. Vallabhacharya of the Pushti Marg, he worshipped, along with all of his followers, to this day, Srinathji. And he and his son, Vitalnath, established such precise worship for all their devotees to worship the deity in their homes every day, according to the season, according to the time of the day. Everything is adjusted perfectly. Why? Because God is a person. Madhavendra Puri, we read in our holy scriptures how much endeavor, effort, risk of his life he made for the seva, for his deity of Gopal. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with Gadadhar Pandit, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Nityananda Prabhu, all these great souls, every day, throughout the day, they would offer seva to Jagannath in Sri Puri town. After the Snan Yatra, when Lord Jagannath was put into seclusion for special seva. In fact, we have two of those sevites with us today, Ram Kumar and Kartik. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be in such separation. He would go to Alalanath, just waiting for Jagannath to return. And he performed the Ratha Yatra, and all of his devotees from all the countries around, they would come for this festival to bring Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra on their beautiful chariots from Jagannath temple to Gundicha, from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. And the foremost of the descendants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa and Sanatan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent them to Vrindavan and gave them four instructions: to rediscover the holy places of Krishna's pastimes and establish these holy places for people from all over India and all of the world to come on pilgrimage. To exemplify the true character and lifestyle of a Goswami, of a true devotee in the renounced order of life. To extract the essence from all the great scriptures, Vedic literatures. Prema Pumartha Mahan, to establish that unmotivated, unconditional, ecstatic love for the Supreme, for Krishna,
is the essence and how to reach it. And to write books for all time to come. And the fourth purpose is discover the ancient deities. Build temples for them. Establish the worship for them. So that not only people will come from all over the world to Vrindavan to see those forms of Krishna, but also they will understand how to establish temples like this with this spirit of devotion wherever they may be. Srila Prabhupada, he personally left India at the age of 70. In 1965, he left Kolkata when he was 69 years old, and his boat, the Jaladuta, went around the southern part of India and stopped one last time in India in Kochi. And that's when he had his 70th birthday. So he more or less left India at 70. And he came to the West. And he sat in a little park, sometimes Washington Square Park, sometimes Tompkins Square Park in New York City, just sitting on the ground and chant. Our dear God brother Brahmananda Prabhu explains, Prabhupada was once sitting in the grass of Washington Square Park, and the police said, "You cannot sit on the grass." Very harsh. So Prabhupada, very humble, he just walked over to the pavement and sat on the pavement and continued his kirtan. He had that faith. And he had 3 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. First canto. He was chanting, he was giving Srimad Bhagavatam. He himself was giving that satsang. And he started a little storefront, 26 Second Avenue, and put his deities there. And gradually, San Francisco, he established Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. And then he was establishing in his life over 108 temples. Radha Krishna, Gornitai, Jagannath. So in this way, he took these 4 principles that Rupa Goswami and made that the very foundational basis of how to give pure bhakti to everyone and how devotees can perfect their spiritual lives in this very life itself if we are sincere. Some people have difficulty with deities because in the West, idol worship is condemned. But in the Vedas and among all the acharyas we're speaking about, idol worship is also condemned. But there's a difference between idol worship, which is based on superstition, the fulfillment of materialistic ambitions, and this ancient, deep, great science of worshiping the personality of God. Because Krishna is achintya. The absolute truth, the source of everything that exists, janmadyasya yataha, is inconceivable. All material and spiritual worlds emanate from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mati sarvam pravartate. Krishna tells like that. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. So this material existence
is Krishna's energy. The example is given of the sun. The sunshine is the energy of the sun. So Krishna is none different from his energy. And Krishna has eternally the free will to manifest himself in any way to attract the hearts of his children. We performed the Homa or the Agnihotra, fire. In the Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhurbhuva Sva Tat Savitur, we're meditating on Krishna or Narayan, who is the presiding deity of the sun. Because the sun is the source and sustenance of all life. Within our universe, nothing could exist without the sun. There would be no light, there would be no heat, there would be no food, there would be no water, there would be no anything without the sun. Yes? Every living being on every planet of the universe is totally dependent on the sun. And Surya Narayan, it is Krishna who is actually the creator and the bestower of all the benefits of the sun. Giver of light and life. What is fire? Fire is simply a manifestation of the sun. Yes? The heat of the sun goes in wood, and then through so much of their hearts and their lives into worshiping the deity form of the Lord. Shripad Shankaracharya, Govinda, what is it? Vaja Govinda, Vaja Govinda, Vaja Govinda, Mudala. His final instruction is worship Govinda. Everything else is ultimately only meant to bring you to this. And he personally, his Ishtadev, he worshipped Narasimha Dev. That form of the Lord is still there at Jyotirmat. And he personally worshipped Badri Vishal, the form of Vishnu or Krishna in Badrinath. Shripad Ramanujacharya, who influenced millions of people throughout the ages. His philosophy, his character, his compassion. He established deities and standards of deity worship throughout the southern India. And he personally worshipped every day Sri Ranganath. And in his heart of hearts, Sri Balaji and Tirupati. Madhvacharya, Shripad Madhvacharya. One of his greatest contributions was the establishing of Udupi Krishna and his personal worship. And how he, as well as Ramanujacharya, established a system for seva to the form of the Lord. And a tradition that has been meticulously followed. In the case of Madhvacharya, for over 700 years. Vallabhacharya of the Pushti Marg, he worshipped along with all of his followers to this day, Srinathji. And he and his son, Vitalnath, established such precise worship for all their devotees to worship the deity in their homes every day, according to the season, according to the time of the day. Everything is adjusted perfectly. Why? Because God is a person. Madhavendra Puri, we read in our holy scriptures how much endeavor, effort, risk of his life he made for the seva, for his deity of Gopal. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with Gadadhar Pandit, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Nityananda Prabhu, all these great souls, every day, throughout the day, they would offer seva to Jagannath in Sri Puri Dham. After the Snan Yatra, when Lord Jagannath was put into seclusion for special seva. In fact, we have two of those sevites with us today, Ram Kumar and Kartik. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be in such separation. He would go to Alalanath, just waiting for Jagannath to return. And he performed the Ratha Yatra. And all of his devotees from all the countries around, they would come for this festival to bring Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra on their beautiful chariots from Jagannath Temple to Gundicha, from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. And the foremost of the descendants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa and Sanatan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent them to Vrindavan and gave them four instructions: to rediscover the holy places of Krishna's pastimes and establish these holy places for people from all over India and all over the world to come on pilgrimage. To exemplify the true character and lifestyle of a Goswami, of a true devotee in the renounced order of life. To extract the essence from all the great scriptures, Vedic literatures. Prema Pumartamaha, to establish that unmotivated, unconditional, ecstatic love for the Supreme, for Krishna, is the essence and how to reach it. And to write books for all time to come. And the fourth purpose is discover the ancient deities. Build temples for them. Establish the worship for them. So that not only people will come from all over the world to Vrindavan to see those forms of Krishna, but also they will understand
how to establish temples like this with this spirit of devotion wherever they may be. Srila Prabhupada, he personally left India at the age of 70. In 1965, he left Kolkata when he was 69 years old, and his boat, the Jaladuta, went around the southern part of India and stopped one last time in India in Kochi. And that's when he had his 70th birthday. So he more or less left India at 70. And he came to the West. And he sat in a little park, sometimes Washington Square Park, sometimes Tompkins Square Park in New York City, just sitting on the ground and chanting. Our dear God brother Brahmananda Prabhu explains, Prabhupada was once sitting in the grass of Washington Square Park, and the police said, you cannot sit on the grass. Very harsh. So Prabhupada, very humble, he just walked over to the pavement and sat on the pavement and continued his kirtan. He had that faith. And he had 3 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. First canto. He was chanting, he was giving Srimad Bhagavatam. He himself was giving that satsang. And he started a little storefront, 26 Second Avenue, and put his deities there. And gradually, San Francisco, he established Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And he was establishing in his life over 108 temples. Radha Krishna, Gornitai, Jagannath. So in this way, he took these 4 principles that Rupa Goswami and made that the very foundational basis of how to give pure bhakti to everyone and how devotees can perfect their spiritual lives in this very life itself, if we are sincere. Some people have difficulty with deities, because in the West, idol worship is condemned. But in the Vedas, and among all the acharyas we're speaking about, idol worship is also condemned. There's a difference between idol worship, which is based on superstition, the fulfillment of materialistic ambitions, and this ancient, deep, great science of worshiping the personality of God. Because Krishna is achintya. The absolute truth, the source of everything that exists, janmadyasyayataha, is inconceivable. All material and spiritual worlds emanate from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam prabhava. Krishna tells like that. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. So this material existence is Krishna's energy. The example is given of the sun. The sunshine is the energy of the sun. So Krishna is none different from his energy. And Krishna has eternally the free will to manifest himself in any way to attract the hearts of his children. we performed the Homa, or the Agnihotra, fire. In the Gayatri Mantra, Om Urbhuva Sva Tat Savitur, we're meditating on Krishna, or Narayan, who is the presiding deity of the sun. Because the sun is the source and sustenance of all life. Within our universe, nothing could exist without the sun. There would be no light, there would be no heat, there would be no food, there would be no water, there would be no anything without the sun. Yes? Every living being on every planet of the universe is totally dependent on the sun. And Surya Narayan, it is Krishna who is actually the creator and the bestower of all the benefits of the sun. Giver of light and life. What is fire? Fire is simply a manifestation of the sun. Yes? The heat of the sun goes in wood, and then through, when we light the wood on fire, we're just bringing out the fire element that's already within the wood. That's fire. And when fire is a material ingredient, there are eight basic elements of material nature, Krishna tells in Gita. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ahankar, or ego. So when, through mantras, through particular divine rituals, and especially through the sincerity of the prayers and the devotion of the hearts of devotees, Krishna, in his own energy of fire, actually is present. He could be present anywhere. He is present everywhere. Krishna tells in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, that person has never lost, nor is that person ever lost to me. Krishna's between every atom and in every atom, everywhere, all-pervading, but still a person whose energy is expanding. So Krishna reveals himself personally in the fire in reciprocation for a devotee's devotion to receive our prayers and to receive our offerings. And that is the Agnihotra. When we're looking at the flame, Krishna's there. Even in the Bible, when Moses went, climbed up Mount Sinai to find the Ten Commandments, Krishna, or God in their eyes, appeared as a burning bush, a fire that just didn't go out. So this wonderful, wonderful seva or puja that we're performing to the fire is a way in which we can totally meditate upon making offerings of love to the Lord of our hearts. And similarly, all these greatest acharyas and all these great scriptures tell us that through wood or through stone, when it's done properly, according to Guru Sadhu Shastra, Krishna's already within everything, but manifests himself personally in the Murti or the deity. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayachchate.
Krishna tells, if you offer me a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it if it's offered with love and devotion. Out of infinite compassion, wherever we are, when little Dhruva Maharaj, 5 years old, wanted to find God, Narada Muni, his guru, he told him, you go to Vrindavan, the forest of Madhuban, on the banks of the Yamuna River, and take your bath in that holy river. And every day, just take the clay from the riverbank and make a form of Krishna. And Dhruva was just a five-year-old boy. He wasn't a trained Murtiwala. But by the grace of Narada, because he was doing it under that command, under a Paramahamsa, and meditate on this form, offer flowers, offer water, and chant this beautiful mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. If we want to develop prema, moksha, from an impersonal perspective, is to realize the eternal existence of the Absolute Truth, Brahman, and to enter into that undying state where there are no material miseries. But beyond moksha is prema, ecstatic love. That is only possible when we realize Jivir Swarupur Krishnar Nityadas, that we are eternally loving servants of Krishna, of God. In a personal way. So Sri Radharani and Lord Krishna today have appeared here in such beautiful forms. And if we approach them as material objects, that's what they will be for us. But if we have faith in the greatest saints, Acharyas, if we have faith in the scriptures, we will have the experience that when we make our offerings, Krishna is reciprocating, Krishna is accepting. Krishna is accepting our love and Krishna is giving himself. Sri Radha is giving herself. It is a great science. Srila Prabhupada he was especially very enthusiastic to inspire his followers to establish temples in the towns and the villages and the cities, and also to establish farm communities. Back in 1969, in America, he established that this was one of his most important missions. He explained how the farm community should be, where we appreciate that the earth, the grains, the sun, the rains, and the water, all of Krishna's energy is Krishna's property. We are not proprietors. We are his caretakers. And therefore, to not use pesticides, to not use chemical fertilizers that deteriorate the very environment and poison it that Krishna has given us, to never waste water, but to actually have gratitude for the waters Krishna giving us and actually save us, harvest it. Srila Prabhupada may not have been completely specific about each and every process, but the principles, he was very specific. Sustainable agriculture. Agriculture that is respectful to honor Mother Earth rather than exploitative or polluting to Mother Earth. Cow protection. Protection doesn't mean just not to kill, but it means to love, to honor, to care. From birth till the last day they naturally breathe, they should feel loved, protected, and happy. And from the springboard of cow protection, Srila Prabhupada, Vidyavanaya Sampani Brahmani Gavihasti Sunichaiva Svapakeja Panditasamadarsha. We should honor and respect and love the essence of life of every living being who is a child of Krishna. And he also wanted that we establish a replica of Vrindavan, a holy place of pilgrimage, where devotees could come on pilgrimage and people from all over our country and all over the world could come on retreat, on a pilgrimage, to associate with holy people and to actually have it be educated and have a deeper appreciation of these values. He wanted the seven temples and the other holy places of Vrindavan to be established. So more or less, whatever Srila Prabhupada emphasized is what the devotees here at Govardhan Eco Village are trying to do. There's nothing invented or speculative. It's all in line with our beloved Guru Parampara. Just behind all of you, we are just establishing, and hopefully by next year, a lot will have been done, a forest of Vrindavan. The seven major temples of Vrindavan, the principal holy places of Vrindavan, Govardhan Hill, Yamuna River. And when, like the deity in a sense, when devotees actually call upon Krishna to appear in these places, that Yamuna and that Govardhan and these murtis or temple sites and holy sites will be in a special way non-different than those places in Vrindavan. Where we could come together to meditate on Krishna's lila, Krishna's teachings, Krishna's form, together and chant his holy name. And we do believe in Srila Prabhupada's vision. However uncoordinated and unqualified we may be, if we're just sincere to work together, to serve together, Krishna, Sri Radha, by their will, they can attract not only our own hearts, not only to help our own family to come together on a higher spiritual platform, but to expand Krishna's family with people from everywhere coming to experience Krishna's love, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's attraction, and Krishna's abode of Vrindavan. That is the purpose of Govardhan Eco Village. The Supreme Absolute Truth is a person. Supreme person. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadhyara Dhir Govinda Sarvakaranakara. Whose form is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, whose quality, whose character, whose devotees, whose love, the sound of his flute, his pastimes, are eternally, intimately attracted to every soul. On the path of bhakti, it's just a matter of living in a favorable way so that Krishna's love totally enchants our hearts and naturally awakens the dormant love that is within our own hearts. It is very special that so many devotees are working together in so many projects. Some years ago, we had one little tiny room on the bottom of three high schools in Chopati Beach area. And the Grihastha devotees, people like Srinathji Prabhu and Mahaprabhu and Sahadev Prabhu and Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Krishna Prabhu and a few brahmacharis. A little later, gradually, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj and Govinda Prabhu. A little later, Sanat Kumar Prabhu and Shamananda Prabhu and Radha Gopinath Prabhu. And devotees were all more serving together with love and respect for each other, like different limbs of the same body. Let's all facilitate for the pleasure of Krishna. And because that unity, that humility, and that enthusiasm to serve was there in those little tiny rooms, it became Radha Gopinath Temple. Radha Gopinath descended, Srinathji descended, Gornitai. And gradually, with our medicals, I don't want to mention too many names because if I do, I'll forget others and then I will feel bad. But Bhaktivedanta Hospital was established, Gopal's Garden, Gopal's Fun School. And devotees started going out to other places, Nasik and Aurangabad and Belgaum and Pune, and establishing temples in those places, Nigri, and then the bases. So many different wonderful projects have grown. It's just when devotees are eager to serve together, to appreciate each other, to see each other from a higher vision than all the differences that we may have. Because the material world in Kali Yuga, anybody can criticize, anybody could find fault, and anybody could argue and fight. People think they're very heroic when they're good at criticizing and fighting. But actually, they're just slaves of Kali Yuga. But for devotees to overcome those tendencies, to unite on a higher principle, a pure platform of devotional service, we chant together, we hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam together, we serve the deity together, we serve the Vaishnava community together, we act as instruments of Guru and Krishna's compassion to the whole world together. To unite on these principles is something that gives the highest pleasure to Krishna. And when we please Krishna, Krishna empowers us to do things that are way, way beyond any of us, individually or collectively. If we become proud, look what I've done, or look what we've done, then we lose that grace. Arrogance has no place in devotional service. But if we're grateful, and in that gratitude for what we're allowed to do together, we become humble in that gratitude, then there's no limits of what Krishna and Sri Radha and I'm sure the Prabhupada can do through us. This project that we are today overdone is an extension of that same enthusiasm to serve together, to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's wish. And Prabhupada's only wish, ultimately, is that the utmost compassion and happiness is given to every living being by giving them an experience of tasting Krishna's love. There are many devotees who work very hard for this community and for establishing this temple. And I'm hopeful that one of our leaders here will speak their names. But Sanat Kumar Prabhu and several others came here when this nothing but a field. Quite a few mosquitoes, quite a few snakes, and not too much else. And to do in India natural agriculture, not easy, because natural is a matter of opinion these days. When people have been, even the farmers, for generations, have been programmed to think that chemicals and pesticides are the only way you can survive. It's very difficult to break out of that mold. Practically, when we brought farmers here, it was very difficult to get them to do it. We almost had to get city people to do it. And gradually, once it was established that it could be done, then the farmers also joined in. And cow protection, even in the name of cow protection, to refine that where there's actually a really happy quality of life for the cows and the bulls and the calves. Quite revolutionary in today's world, even in India. And Sanat Kumar Prabhu and his team really, and Nanda Nandana Prabhu, really put their hearts and souls and sacrificed everything for that purpose. And the second part of establishing this retreat center or this place of pilgrimage that Srila Prabhupada wished for His Grace Gauranga Prabhu really took it upon himself and formed a team, and somebody else is going to have to say all the names, because you all know who they are and who you are. But within what was predicted to take about 10 years to do, they did it in less than 1 year. Water harvesting. They didn't know anything about water harvesting when they started. But because of their sincerity, they actually studied. And they got national awards in India for management of water, which is one of the greatest emergency crises in the world. People in very high places in the world are saying there's wars over oil, but in the future, unless the world very significantly changes the way they live, there will be wars over water. Because you can't live without water. It's amazing. We dug this one reservoir, and it was just a hole in the ground. And within a few days of the monsoons, it filled up with over 1 million gallons of water. Just a few days of monsoons. And that's practically enough water to maintain the community for the whole year. Anybody could do these things. The water's there. It's just a matter of understanding its value. Yes? I'll give an example. If 1,000 rupee notes were falling from the sky, would you just, you know, let it fly down the street and into the ocean, or would you collect it? What would you do? Water is more, every drop of water is more valuable than 1,000 rupee notes. Because if you have 1 trillion crores of rupees but no water, what will be the quality of your life? So when it rains, well, this is God's grace. This is precious. It's a spiritual recognition that this is all based upon. And the building materials on the other end of our eco village are made out of the mud from our own soil. It's, as far as research has been done, it's the most environmentally sustainable bricks possible. And it's beautiful. And it's wonderful. It's a state of consciousness, very much in line with honoring Mother Earth and Srila Prabhupada's wish to do something in a way that is the spirit of Vrindavan. Our grihasthas have been putting so much of their energy in the form of vision and funds to help make everything possible. Brahmacharis, incredible amounts of physical labor, study, and surrender devotion of their hearts. And we always wanted a stone temple to offer to Prabhupada and Krishna. And Gauranga Prabhu last night told me that it was always his dream to help to build a stone temple. because traditionally the acharyas, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, Tirupati, Sri Rangam, Kanchipuram, Jagannath, Puri, it's very special. And this team of devotees came together, and within a year, a wonderful stone temple, according to tradition, according to scripture. And today, Srimati Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna have come to make their home in this temple, and to extend their supreme compassion upon all of you, all of us, all the people who come here, the whole world, the whole universe, the whole creation, the whole cosmic manifestation. And that supreme personality of Godhead, yes? Are you going to explain some of the devotees and others who have contributed to this project? So on a personal level, I'm infinitely grateful to all the devotees who have given so much to help make this holy place, and to each and every one of you for your own example and sincerity of devotional service, whatever project you may be doing. And at this time, we would ask Nanda Dulal Prabhu to come and share with us those special exalted personalities who have expended much of their life and energy to make this project possible. And in a few minutes, will be the first arti. Just before the arti, they will reveal their names to all of us. But I'm hoping that all of you, please come often, bring your family, your friends, and everyone else. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maharaj. So on this very auspicious occasion of the temple opening, we wanted to felicitate some special guests that we have with us today. We'll request His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj to give them gifts and honor them. So first we'll invite Sri Manoj Trivedi Ji and Sri Devendra Trivedi Ji. These are the designers of the altar, the Garbha Griha. So we request them to come ahead. So they are the ones who have designed the whole altar in a very beautiful way. Now we invite Sri Indra Acharya Ji, who is the main contractor and the stone carving in charge of the main temple. We invite His Grace Sachi Tanuj Prabhu, who has designed the interiors of the temple and also the altar. Please come. We invite Sri Namdev Nipurte, who has been the construction contractor for this whole temple, and in record time he has helped us construct this temple. We invite now Sri Nikhil Manushali ji. He has helped this temple get permissions from different departments, and without his help it would not have been possible to construct this temple. There is one personality who is not with us here today, but she is Her name is Nidhan Mataji. She is the dear sister of our Sudama Prabhu. So she is one of the most major sponsors for this temple. So Gauram Prabhu has requested me to announce her name, and we all pray for her that she get the blessings of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So one small announcement is that since the darshan will open now, but the temple hall is limited, so the same darshan will be available on this screen also. So just in case you don't get space up there, the darshan is available here also. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Our very special gratitude to Jalalibas Prabhu. His grace, Jalalibas Prabhu. His grace, Pankajandari Prabhu. Maybe this Bhakti Vita Purna Maharaj. Wonderful students of his that came. They performed all of the ceremonies. And Srila Prabhupada's blessings have really showered upon this project and all of us through them. Anonymous Guru, Bhakti Chandra, Guru, Soliness Bhakti, Bhakti Purna Maharaj, and the others have descended from Sri Mayapur Dham, the spiritual world, and taken so much trouble to come here. And as soon as there was this idea of having this function, everything was dependent on them coming to bestow Lord Sri Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda Prabhu's blessings upon us. So let us very, very, they've taken a lot of efforts and a lot of trouble. Although they are demanded by people in every part of the world, they came here to be with us. Let us express our gratitude in a very tumultuous, enthusiastic way by chanting Hare Krishna.